It would be nice to write a book that my kids would actually... I have adult children, and they won't read my books.
From the Center for the Study and Teaching of Writing at The Ohio State University, this is Writer's Talk. I'm Doug Dangler. The annual Ohioana Book Festival celebrates Ohio authors. We talked to a number of authors at the 2009 festival about their latest publications and the writing life. In this episode, we talked to Donna McMeans.
And how is it that you got into writing?
Oh, I've always liked to write. In high school, I did the advanced reading programs. And I thought I was going to be an English teacher. Mm-hmm. I started at Ohio State with that intent. But I took my first education course. And that quickly changed my mind. So I thought, well, I'll do journalism. That's close to English. Mm-hmm. So I majored in journalism, but I was on scholarship, a two-year scholarship. And when the scholarship ended, so did I. I didn't know you could apply to renew or extend. So I went back home. We lived in Cincinnati at the time. Went back to Cincinnati and worked and got married and moved to Cleveland. So I lived in Cleveland for a while. Mm-hmm. And I found my employer would pay my way back to school because it bothered me that I hadn't graduated. I'd been a very good student. But I had to major in business. Okay. So I thought, public relations, that's close, you know. But any business course you take, you have to take a course in accounting. Mm-hmm. And when I took accounting, that was very easy. So easy for me. It was like doing crossword puzzles. So I ended up majoring in accounting, and I went into, I'm a CPA, and invested my life in that area. But, you know, I always wrote fantastic memos. Mm-hmm. And I've always been just a rampant reader. And one day I read a book that was fabulous, absolutely fabulous. It was called Outlander. It was a time travel. And it had to do with a modern-day English heroine and a Scottish laird. And it was a romance. Mm-hmm. And I had never read romance because at this point in time, I'm a business executive. And business executives don't read romance. So I read this and I thought, you know, and the first part of the book had all these awards it had won in romance. And I thought, if this is a romance, I am a complete idiot. Mm-hmm. This is wonderful. I'm going to read another. So I go to my little B. Dalton's bookstore. I still wasn't brave enough to be seen in the romance section. So I stood in the cooking section, and I found I could jump out and grab the end cap of the books in the romance section. And there was one there. It was by a New York Times author, bestseller author. And it had that same English heroine, Scottish laird. And I thought, well, it's going to be like that Outlander. I took that home. I thought in the first chapter, I thought the solution to the problem was so obvious. Mm-hmm. This cannot be the answer to the problem. I read the whole book, and it was. And I thought, well, this really stinks. Mm-hmm. You know, it was not nearly as satisfying as that first book. I could write better than this book. Okay. And so I started. That's what got me started in writing. I think writing is like most things. That you look at and you think look very, you know, I can do that. And then you kick over that rock and you discover that there's all sorts of other things that you have to learn. But the learning was so fun and I enjoyed it. It took me 10 years from my first manuscript to when I got published. But I love it. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love that world. Okay. So.
Okay. Now, you've been involved in a lot. Journalism, business.
Oh, yeah. I got a few years on me.
What were some of the things that you had to learn to transition into being a writer?
In terms of the craft of the writing, you know, when you read a book, you kind of lose yourself in that book. You're living in the world, in that story world. And it's a really fun feeling. The book stays with you for days on end. That just doesn't happen. There is a whole craft going on behind the words. I call it invisible writing that sucks you into that kind of a world. Mm-hmm. There are techniques to do that. So from the craft side, I had to learn the techniques. From the publishing side, that was a whole new ballpark. Mm-hmm. I think most people are of the opinion that if you write a book, finding a publisher is not a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, it will be published. All you have to do is get to the end. Not so. A little bit harder than that. And it requires a lot of submissions, a lot of rejection letters, which can be hard on the ego. You have to really be committed to doing this and convinced that you could sell. I remember telling my husband after I got another rejection letter, and it, of course it knocks you in the punch, and I'm like, I know I can do this. Mm-hmm. I know that I can write as well as the books that are out there. I just know I can do it. So I think learning, I had to grow a thicker skin mm-hmm. to not let the rejections affect me so. I had to learn about the industry of romance, which publishers out there publish romance, how you go about the whole process, the query process, mm-hmm. writing a synopsis, all those things that you don't see when you pick a book off the shelf. And after I published, then the learning still continues mm-hmm. because then you have to learn about promotion, about writing to deadline, about writing a book that maybe your heart wasn't in at the beginning, mm-hmm. Or maybe a book that isn't coming along as well as you would like it to. All those things are all part of the learning process. So yeah, there's been a lot of learning. What I haven't had to learn is how to do my tax return, though. So okay, well, that part I knew.
That's right there. Okay. What is your writing process? How do you sit down and get started on a book? Do you have a special ritual that you go through, or?
I have various statues that I pray. No, no, I can't say that. I don't know. I almost wish that I did have some sort of ritual or process. Mm-hmm. Because I think if I did, it would be easier to fall into that process and write. I don't really plot ahead of time. Mm-hmm. I wish I did so that I'd have a blueprint. But I don't do that. My characters, I tend to think about my characters. I'm one of those people that they're usually driving behind you when you look in the rearview mirror and the person is just like either talking to themselves or, and you think, man, that person's crazy back there. That would be me. Mm-hmm. Thinking about my character, that was me. It's either that or I'm singing, you know, at the top of my voice. But thinking about my characters, thinking about the possible conflicts that I could have between them, a lot of just thought process goes in up front. And then once I start writing about the third chapter, the characters flesh out, they're real, they start talking to me, mm-hmm. and they take over the book from there. And it tends to kind of, I don't want to say it writes itself. I'm the one that's sitting there at the laptop working on it. Mm-hmm. But I do follow a basic kind of a plot. I know where I need to be at any kind of point in the journey of the story. But that's it. Mm-hmm. And then I depending on when my deadline is, I'm very deadline driven. Depends on how many hours of a day. Writing is hard work. It's harder than anything else I've done. Mm-hmm. Because there's no direction. In accounting, there's almost a checklist as to what to do, what has to be, you know, what has to balance, mm-hmm. disclosures that have to be made on the tax return. Heaven knows the IRS has a stack of rules on how to do things. Right. You don't find that in writing. So it's very hard work to come up with your characters, to come up with the plot. And because it's hard work, it's real easy to put it off, to procrastinate, mm-hmm. to come up with everything else that's important. Mm-hmm. And when you're published, it makes it even doubly easier to procrastinate because there's things like promotion, there's things like book signings, mm-hmm. there's things like, just keeping in touch with your readers, all sorts of other things that you could do instead of actually writing. Mm-hmm. But you have to write. Mm-hmm. If you come up with a good process, let me know.
I'm still working on that myself, so... what do you do when you come up against writer's block?
I'm trying to think. I don't tend to have too much trouble coming up with ideas for a story. A lot of times you just look around and something will spark an idea. Mm-hmm. My problem with writer's block is because I don't plot. If I find myself in a spot where I don't know where to go, I just don't know where the book's going to go. Mm-hmm. That happened to me recently with Seduction of a Duke. I was in the middle of the book, and I hadn't a clue what to do. It's an arranged marriage. Mm-hmm. Typically, in a book, in a romance, the goal at the end of the book is for the couple to commit to each other, to either marry or to profess their love or to, you know, somehow commit to each other. Mm-hmm. But in an arranged marriage, that happens up front. Mm-hmm. At least they're married up front. Mm-hmm. So now I have to come up. I got to the middle of the book, and I had come up with a way of them to be, like, holding each other off or a natural barrier for things to progress. But you can only do that so long. Mm-hmm. And I hit the middle of the book, and I don't know what to do. If I let them do what they want to do, my book's over. Mm-hmm. All the tension is gone because they were already married. And that really held me up for quite some time. I had a deadline. The book had to be turned in a month. And I'm on page 200. Mm-hmm. And I have 200 more pages I have to write in a month's time without a clue. Mm-hmm. What happened is I decided, well, let's let them do what they want to do and see what happens.
Okay.
And as it so happened, like I said, the characters tend to write the book. I let them go ahead and decide to do what comes natural, and there were some other obstacles that popped up in the way, and then suddenly, all these little things. Writing is magical. I swear, it is the best job, and that it's hard work, but it's magical. All these little things that you put in the beginning of the book that you didn't know why you did it, they just popped into your writing, mm-hmm. they suddenly made sense. They suddenly play in an important part in the ending of that book. And you had no idea. You're like, man, am I brilliant or what? but it's really, I don't know whether your unconscious is doing the plotting all along and it just boiled up to the conscious mind, mm-hmm. but it's magic. Mm-hmm. And I love that part. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess writer's block, you just let yourself go. And you force yourself to the computer. Mm-hmm. You can't use that as an excuse. You have to write. You have to mm-hmm. force yourself to do it.
Okay. In addition to romance novels, what mm-hmm. other genres do you enjoy reading?
Well, lately, because I write Victorian romances, mm-hmm. I read a lot of nonfiction in the name of research.
Okay.
Also, history, read a lot of history books because they spark ideas. Something comes. But if I also love paranormal. I'm not too fond. I'm not crazy about vampires. But I do, or shapeshifters. They are the craze. They are the craze. They're just not my personal mm-hmm. thing. But I love the whole idea of magic mm-hmm. and fantasy. And otherworldliness, I guess. I like how that plays into a story. Mystery, I'm not real dark. I don't like the dark mm-hmm. evil. I'm more light and fluffy. I like enjoying what I'm reading. I like humor. So I also read a lot of contemporary humor. Susan Elizabeth Phillips. I like her books. I like a new author. It's a friend of mine, but her first book hit the New York Times bestseller. She wrote Homicide in hardcover. And if you read Janet Ivanovich, mm-hmm. Which is very much a Jersey girl, first person take on mysteries, mm-hmm. hers, Homicide in hardcover, is more of a West Coast, born in the commune, mm-hmm. hippie parents. Same thing, solving a mystery, but very much first person and very much in that personality. Mm-hmm. And as I'm a child of that period as well, it speaks to me. I like that. So I just read a variety mm-hmm. of things.
Are there any genres that you've been wanting to write but you just haven't tackled yet?
Not, I guess young adult. It's hard. My stories are very sexy, which don't translate very well. Mm-hmm. I read Twilight, Stephanie Meyer's Twilight, the movie fame. And that was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. And you kept turning the pages. And at the end of the book, I had to look back and say, how did she do it? How did she keep me turning these pages and when there's no sex in the book? Because I write a very sexy book. And I thought that was really cool. Mm-hmm. So I would like to write a young adult. I just haven't really tried that one yet.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that you like the whole magical themes that are in a lot of novels. Do you use those in your novels as well?
In one of my books, The Trouble with Moonlight uses an invisible heroine. So that's kind of a paranormal element. Mm-hmm. She turns invisible in moonlight. Can't help it. Just happens. Mm-hmm. And just her, not her clothes. It's another Victorian romance, and they didn't have invisible clothes back then. Mm-hmm. So it's just her. What I like about that, and I was inspired to write that book by, at the time, all of the superhero movies that were out. Mm-hmm. Heroes was the big TV show when I started that book. And the whole concept of having superpowers, you don't see that so much now. Mm-hmm. That must have been a phase. But I like the idea of having my heroine have a superpower, but have it be out of their control so they couldn't turn it on and off. And that there would be consequences to having that power. Mm-hmm. So that inspired that book. I did another story a number of years ago, which was published as a short story in a book that is out of print at this point. And that one had a magical amulet that would make your wishes come true. You didn't know it did that. But it would do so in a twisted way so that it wasn't exactly, be careful what you wish for. Yeah. It wasn't exactly what you wished for, but it was. I liked that one. That was called Smoke and Mirrors. Who knows? I may end up going back. That was a contemporary, though. That was before I discovered the love of all things Victorian.
Okay. Now, for adults, you know, once you get a certain age, the magic and all of that sort of disappears out of your life somewhat. How do you find it more difficult to market that to adults? Like, do you think it'd be easier for children to read a magical story? Or?
I don't think the magic disappears. Okay. I think, maybe you're right. Maybe I really hadn't thought about that. I know my audience, the women that write me, I do write mainly for women, but I do have male readers, which surprises the heck out of me. But most of them are older. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's just I think it's the component of, in a historical, usually you're talking about an innocent girl discovering. Okay. And I think that's what they relate to. Times have changed. Modern women don't necessarily relate so well and think it's kind of silly that this whole chastity thing. So the younger readers aren't grabbing so much to the historical end, but the younger readers do grab to the paranormal and the shift shapers. I do see some older women reading the magic line. I don't know. I think you can still do it as long as it's handled in an adult fashion. For children, it captures the imagination. Harry Potter, thank God for J.K. Rowling. I don't think you have to have necessarily magic to make it interesting to a child. It's all a question of the right hook. But it certainly was fun. I think as long as you have a fun component in it for a young adult. But I haven't really done the market research that I would need to do if I decided to try that genre. One of these days. It would be nice to write a book that my kids would actually, I have adult children, and they won't read my books. Well, think about it. If your mother wrote a very sexy book, do you think you would be interested?
I don't know about that. I don't know.
Yes, they have a difficulty with that, and I don't blame them. But it would be nice to write a book that they would read.
What projects are you currently working on? Any big items for the future?
Well, I am working on another historical, Victorian historical. In the epilogue of my last book, it mentions one character who has been kind of, you know, I never really planned to write a book about her, but that's the one the readers are asking for. So right now I'm working on a book called The Redemption of the Rogue. Who knows if the title will stick, because the editors tend to change those. But that would be her story. And at the same time, I'm also working on a time travel that has to do with a woman from the past, from 1855, who comes forward into the future by means of the charm gates in New Orleans. These are actual gates at the Quarter Two Sisters. There's these gates called the charm gates. Okay. There's a little sign that hangs above them, and it says, "These gates have been blessed by Queen Isabella, and all those that touch them will gain their charm." And I just thought that was so cool. And I did, by the way, touch the gate. So I am charming.
Yeah, what?
Just in case you wondered. But I thought about it, and I thought, what if Queen Isabella, I was going to have someone touch the gates and be channeling Queen Isabella. But she was a nasty lady. She was, I mean, I couldn't put her into a character and make him a heroine. So what if she had a charm teacher? Because she was fairly young. What if she had a charm teacher? And she hated the charm teacher because she was such a nasty woman. What if she decides to get rid of the charm teacher by having an alchemist capture that charm teacher in these gates? And so the fact that she blessed them and said, "You'll get their," it was a tongue-in-cheek reference. And my hero does release her, has the ability to release her. And suddenly you have a woman from 1855 running loose in modern-day New Orleans.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun. So I'm working on that one. Okay. We'll see if it goes anywhere.
Okay. And is this your first time at Ohio Lantern?
This is my first time at the festival.
Okay.
I've done a couple podcasts or talks through the Wexner when Ohioana has the program at the Wexner Library in February. I guess they do it monthly, but they invite the romance authors in February. Okay. That would make sense, you know, in the month. And I have been to the library before, so I have some experience with Ohioana. But this is the first time I've been to the book festival, and it's really great.
Okay.
I've talked to a number of people that have traveled considerable distance to get here for this, so good job. Good job.
Be sure to check out our other Ohioana podcasts and our many author interviews at www.writerstalk.org. Until the next time, keep writing.